Yay! Yay, Daddy!
Yes. Yes, announcements. Welcome to episode 2 of season 2 of the Elven Portal podcast. And we've got back returning. We've held off this season for 2 very special dwarves. Ryan Messina, who's in the house tonight with his new son. Son number 2.
The newest.
The newest of the new. And of course, Frank Hamilton, who will return soon. Poor bugger is moving across. But we can't give out his address. I guess I could, you know. No, we can't. He's somewhere in America. He's one of those Americans that live in America. Portland something something. But reason why I'm recording this and why it's about to go up is because we play, as you know, we try to play RAW, rules as written, as we call it. And we have overlooked such a crucial rule when Mr. Gibson, in the house tonight,
hello,
brought this to my attention. I was in my vehicle driving, doing the hands-free headset thing, talking to him. Because, you know, if you can't pester your friends during a work day on your drive to work, because you start an 8 hour later than they do. I don't start work till 10. They all start at 9 or whatever. So it's like, it's 9:30. I'm halfway to work. And it's like, oh, make a phone call. Hey, Joe, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. Last night's game, right? And he brought the most important rule, which we will implement immediately. Mr. Gibson, if you please.
Yes, so the simple rule for alcohol, since it is a poison, kind of, ingested poison, something that we've been missing since the party is a, not drunken fools, but do like the brew, there's really not that much bad stuff to it in comparison to other poisons, but you know, the stage one is you get a +1 bonus against fear for 10 minutes.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good bonus.
Go right? on.
It's a poison that gives you a bonus. What?
Yeah. Yeah, that's sort of a poison. I mean,
yeah,
so it's a poison that's good for the soul.
Yeah, except for mine. Mine doesn't show up on the green screen because it's green.
Oh, it's hilarious. Did you see these floating words? You're like, look at the cylinder of words.
Yeah. So what's the DC for this fortitude save that I'm going to implement immediately?
DC 12 fort save. So.
Easy.
Now, at first level, a little harder, but now it's easy. Yeah.
You guys are always talking about drinking, and when we get to a point where it's like beyond the sitting and having a drink, like, oh, I don't know, a dwarf and a guy that spent half the night drinking and spending bedtime stories, I think at least one fortitude save is in order.
I think it's fair. I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, technically, we could just be sipping and not be really consuming it to the point of intoxication. You know, you'd think being dwarves our whole lives, we'd know our limits.
Yeah. So many podcasts.
But we do celebrate a lot.
That's the thing. It's like, so many podcasts literally do this.
It must be nice to have a camera that follows you.
I saw that.
No, it's actually Cheryl. She's on the other side of it.
Yeah, she's okay.
That's as far as the tripod spins.
I got a free skill I can take. What should I take?
Oh, a free skill.
Free skill, yeah. Or for my next level on Mr. Albrecht.
Oh, my.
So I'm just doing it up now, trying to figure out how I'm going to go. It's not that big of a deal. So you get a skill increase and an ancestry feat at 5th,
mm-hmm.
As well as all of your attributes go up.
Yep. Yeah.
The ancestry feat I took enhances crafting, or gives you crafting if you don't already have it. If you do have it, it allows you to choose a skill of any skill of your choice. I already have crafting.
That you do.
I'm wondering what skill I should take. I should actually ask the GM. GM?
Yes?
What skill should I take? I have a free skill on Albrecht.
As I was saying with any podcast, before I make my recommendation, the first thing they do is, oh, what are you drinking tonight, boys? And they open one air, and I've discovered ciders. Strong episode.
Oh, are delicious.
Don't poke the bear.
Don't poke the bear is one of my favorites. Yeah. It is actually like a fantastic cider. But if you like Strongbow's like really dry, so you might not like Don't Poke the Bear because it is not a dry cider.
No. Well, if back when I used to drink pop, like I'm not a Coke, Pepsi guy. I like ginger ale, Canada Dry ginger ale. And then
ginger ale's delicious. It's my favorite because it pairs beautifully with whiskey.
Mm. So anyway, my point being, podcasts are like, ooh, glug, what are we drinking tonight, right? And then the characters roll dice, you get sloshed. Show me another podcast where you're playing a race known for drinking, known for its drinking fortitude, and trying to open a brewery as the main campaign arc for Capital. And oh, by the way, the adventures just dumped on top of you guys.
Yeah, that is our main campaign, by the way.
That is our...
yeah, what they've got in the books there, that's just, those are all our side quests.
That's filler, yeah.
that is the way you're going to make capital. Now, getting back to your question, sir, you asked me...
I have a free skill I can take.
A free skill?
Skill, yes. And so, it can be anything because I took an ancestry feat that bolsters my crafting, but it also trains you in crafting if you're not trained, but I'm already trained. So it says, if you are already trained in crafting, select a skill of your choice.
Any skill.
Any skill.
Yep.
All right. Well, how about...
I'm not trained in.
No, well, so I'm not sure. Oh, actually, you know what? Sorry. I guess I should pull up your character sheet because I have the power.
You do.
Let's look.
I was actually thinking about religion because it's a nice knowledge skill to have. Or society.
Is there any intelligence? No, wait, you're charisma-based, right?
Charisma-based, but I am intelligent. My stats are actually beefy now. Oh, is performance... Yeah, but performance isn't a skill in this, is it? Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Yep. Straight below perception. There's deception.
On the way to become a bard?
Yeah. Well, let's start at the top of the list for Matt and review... We'll talk about what's happened in Season 1 through Matt Sorcerer's Eyes. Acrobatics. Do you remember the ledge before the Great Burgess fight where you guys all fell off and jumped down? Right? But I made you take damage. So there's acrobatics to consider. Knowledge Arcana. You're already an expert. Athletics. Again, jumping down, climbing. You are trained in it. I don't know if your skill open said you could go from training to expert just yet. Crafting. You're an expert. Good for you. Deception. Trained. Diplomacy. Trained. Intimidate. Trained. Train. Mess it. Nature. You guys will spend a lot of time.
That's true. That's a very good point. Your nature?
We
are currently in the middle of a cameo with a ranger and a druid. And if we are going to bring on a fifth player, no promises, they are just cameos, we have to leave some skill set open for Matt not to jump on, like, you know, the way he jumped on medicine with the first cleric.
Oh,
you know, stuff like that. Occultism. Like,
dude, I took medicine because it's the smart thing to do. Everybody should have a rank. I have a training rank in medicine.
Occultism. Because we have a religion.
I was debating that one, too. I was thinking, from what I saw, I was going to go occultism, religion, or society. No. I thought those would...
I have a skill that none of you have. You would be the first dwarf to take stealth!
What?
Stealth! Stealth! Right?
I'm not walking through here.
Well, no. Imagine like you would pop up and loudly announce yourself, but it would be at the end of the roll going, "You didn't see me, did you?" And people would be like, "Yeah!" Kind of spoils the point at the end. But, you know, the sorcerer just pops up. Yeah!
You thought I cast invisibility, didn't you?
You're flat-footed, aren't you?
What? Yeah, you're right. You're right. The occultism makes sense because we don't actually have any of that in the party, do we?
That's pretty cool, yeah.
No. And it would follow suit, you know, me being a sorcerer.
Yeah, that and with the...
Don't you like being elven flies around with you, too?
Yeah, the elven ruins that we just found type thing, maybe.
No, yeah. Getting a roadblock and translating things.
So you've got nature?
I do have nature.
Oh my god, I love this picture of Ryan. Little baby head, Ryan head, and giant Merrick from the Star Wars game looking over your shoulder.
Three generations of savages.
It's the evolutionary chart.
Yeah, there you go. We'll get you
baby
to switch.
Looms? Baddy looms? Papa looms.
Switch to the Celtic later. But while we are, you know, still burning air and talking about, you know, what's coming or whatever, how about we talk about Muros? I believe you've already leveled. And Sorcerer is about to... when you guys begin the second book, you're supposed to be fifth level. Now, I'm going to withhold this level until you guys have jumped through a couple of hoops, obviously. But if you guys want to talk about what you're considering in a build before we pull that trigger, I'm all ears. I mean, Matt's already opened that floodgate. Thanks for that.
Because last game you told me...
So
I'm already...
I dropped the ball on the last one, so I'm just making sure I'm preemptive this time, you know, and ready to go. Okay.
I like how I set up a cameo for Rami Gilligar in Star Wars, and yet you still tried to phone a random mercenary, and Corey's like, "I'm right here."
Yeah, well, I didn't want to pay him.
Wanted him free.
Okay. Likes the debtor.
And I was leaving the door open for, you know, maybe other people's characters to be introduced.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. Do you guys know you can
do
just
solid, buddy?
Doing double clicking on your portrait brings up your character, and if you're happening to be playing two or are familiar, you know, just quick double clicking on the portraits at the top corner of your Fantasy Grounds screen, because tonight, of course, sponsored by Fantasy Grounds and Devon Knight Minis, hats off and thank you to both who have generously given us a bunch of their stuff for free.
So misconception.
A lot of people think you have a sponsor that they're giving you cash. It's like, no, they just, you know, unlock virtual stuff and email it to you, and you don't have to pay them for it. And, you know, you make them look good. They make you feel more important than you really are. And Bob's your uncle. But enough about that. Let's talk about.
Well, I will say this, Jeff. At least you've got a firm grip on reality.
No. No.
Well, this one, anyways.
Did you know that my birthday has come and gone, and I have been DMing for 33 years.
Oh my goodness.
That is not
half of the beast.
That is not.
That is a number.
He just jumps right into the Satanic Panic. Yeah, that's how old I am. I remember the Satanic Panic. No. Satanic Panic, I believe, happened late 70s, and I didn't get into D&D until like the
80s.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was like mid 80s. I just missed it.
I mean, like, if anything was gonna push me into Dungeons and Dragons, it would definitely be saying, "That's the devil's work."
Oh, well, sign me up twice.
And Lucifer on Netflix is an awesome show. The end. Let's talk about, you know, what you would like to get into. Because Matt, you've already opened this box. Let's talk more about your sorcerer. Where is he going? You guys have taken feats that allowing you guys to multi-class. You know, let's talk about that.
Well, I haven't taken any multi-classing feats on my sorcerer. I think I can actually keep him true to the line. The bard thing did intrigue me, though. I'm not gonna lie, when Joe mentioned that, it's like, wow, I'm already built for it, you know.
Actually, you know what, after you dropping to your knees and like, no, Miros, and your mother will kill me, right? If you took bard and then to trained in performance, and your performance is doing the Kirk where there's that moment of decision. No, not that. I mean,
not
like
that.
every show where everyone's had their say, and then Kirk ties it up by going, "Well, Kirk, Spock, Scotty. Oh, I said my own name, but it's okay." And he just starts with the shoulders and the hands, and he starts monologuing about why they should do what they're doing, why it's important, and, you know, all that kind of thing. Why Earth and the American way is still prevalent in space in the 23rd century, that kind of thing. And, you know, people have made fun of this, but it's like, I could totally see your sorcerer. Because you usually have one of the guys that has the last word. Everyone puts their vote in. Then you're like, well, lads, imagine if we just brought ourselves together in this time. Like, and you roll performance and you get your bar. I'm just saying, I think that would work mechanically as well.
You think it would fit?
if. Anyway, but that's just my wild imagination. I do admit, I pitch these crazy ideas to these guys. And we do it to each other. Ha, ha, ha. I could totally see Merrick doing this. And Ryan's like, well, maybe you will see me flying a jetpack into, you know, never mind. We don't want no spoilers. Getting back to your plans for your sword, Mr. Albrecht Stonechucker is...
Yeah, so he's going to be like the master of the missiles, I think is good.
Didn't somebody call us out on you were chucking way too many at one time?
Yep, for one level I was chucking way too many.
Oh, okay.
For one level.
Oh, it's all good.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't have been able to empower it.
Do you even have other spells? I'm looking at your spells. I was like, does he even have anything else? Oh, there. Okay. Yeah, there they are.
Because I took it wherever I could. Every slot I could put it. You're going there. And you're going there. And you're going there. But now it's not as important because of the whole specialization thing and the sorcerer's spell specialization, because I can substitute any spell that's on my
repertoire.
Yeah.
So it's always prepared.
That's exactly
now, it. Now, this is what I'm talking about. You gloss over something, and a lot of people are still new to second edition.
Well, for me, it was a confusion because in the description, it says you get to empower your signature spell for free. So I was like, sweet, no prerequisites, nothing. You know, it doesn't cost me anything. I just get to empower it. That makes sorcerer cool. But no, I still needed to have the spell slot to empower it. So for one level, I was empowering Magic Missile and shouldn't have.
Well, I mean, we have, this is one show where to pull it off, like we had four shows, literally like four and a half shows up and running before I'm like, hey, let's do a podcast. Let's drop everything and do second edition. You guys are like, you're freaking nuts. I'm like, no. We'll get Joe to read the rules and make rule lawyering a cool thing, you know, instead of a stereotype that no one wants at your table. And I'll run the story and, you know, as... Yeah. But now there, some people have had issue going, well, I'm relinquishing control of DMing to play. No. Okay, I'm not stupid, guys. Like, if I smell these guys are like conveniently forgetting something, well, they might get away with it for an episode or two. But you, the you know, the audience, our satellite rules lawyers, have, are very quick to like, oh, by the way, you know, Jeff, especially, and everybody else, you know, this is what this means, this is whatever. And I'm just because it's a brand new system, it's, you know, it's fun. If we tried this with like first edition, it would just look like no one knows what they're doing. And, you know, but for second edition, it's still new, it's still shiny. They're going to have editing. I mean, how many printings of the first core book are there? Pathfinder first edition. Any guesses? I know.
Seven?
How many printings?
Close.
You mean,
yes.
Reiterations?
Yeah. Yeah. Like they reprint it, which usually means an edit.
Yeah. No, 100%. Well, it means amendment.
It's like, there's like six. Yeah. There's like easily six. Anyway. Hero point for Joe. An extra hero point for Joe tonight for pointing out page 121 of the DM guide for alcohol, because that's awesome.
Yeah, because, well, it's something we do constantly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, because when we first started, it's like, I can't find any of these things. I can't find any rules about alcohol. This is wrong. Yeah. It's because we only had the core book.
Drinking while gaming, you say?
Yeah.
What?
I never did, because I while trying to DM and run all the tech simultaneously. Again, people are like, you do what? Yeah. Call me a control freak. Call me the fact that I'm the only guy interested in doing this stuff. You guys are just happy to show up and play. Kind of left the drinking by the wayside. It's like, you know, you don't need me slurring and sloshing and scroll, double check, you know, like that's burns a lot of air.
Yeah.
So, how about Niles? I mean, this side quest not only is to, you know, possibly introduce Niles to Dwarven society. Sorry, we just totally like ripped through Bridgerton on Netflix. But let's talk about possibly where Niles is going to lean. It would be kind of neat, because we would get double, like, people love.
Sorry, I just heard your last statement. Loved that series. It was really.
If you like the series Reign, Bridgerton, we just finished it the other night.
Also watched that Orlando Bloom, Clara Delevingne.
Oh, the fantasy one.
Yeah, which was really good. I don't know if they're.
Oh, we'll have to write that down. Anyway, sorry, trying to stay somewhat on topic.
Yeah. Sorry.
No. No. We're like, hey, this is good stuff, and you know, geeks love listening to like what we watch, what you do, the type of thing. A couple of things. If you are on Twitter, at Rollmongers, okay. Even if you want to email us, okay, we have a Discord server up and running with a pack of Star Wars fans and new fans coming into it every day that, you know, want to talk to you, other fans, not just us.
Yeah, they're right? Bored of us already.
Yeah,
they're certainly bored of me. A couple of them were starting up a conversation. Some of our patrons, as well as fans, got chatting away in there, and I just snuck in my hand and went, "This is great." You know, look, the fans are talking with each other and blah blah blah. Me so happy, right? And I just got smacked down by Doug and Dan so fast.
You're like, well, how dare you experience joy?
Jeff, no concerns until they start making the No Jeff's Reddit subred.
Yeah, well, you know, I have honestly seriously considered taking a month off, 3 months off, and re-editing our first couple podcasts and having it the like 20, you know, the revised edition of Star Wars featuring 20% less Jeff. You know, I do know I tend to ramble, right? Just edit some
of
that.
We all know that's scientifically impossible.
No. Just cut out something. Who is the time? We have new shows to air. We have three GMs. Yeah,
extra funny if you were like, lose a bunch of weight and then do that.
Yeah,
then you could just be yourself, but it's technically a true statement. People would be like, Jeff? What do you mean 20% less Jeff? And then they'd be like, oh, by the way, that was for our
I did lose 10 pounds 3 months ago when I started my new job, but of course they say the first 10's easy and you just plateau. Niles, Mr. Gibson, let's talk about what's in the future, because we have episodes that people like, as I was saying, they love hearing about our build and what you guys chose. But if you guys get close to level, what you consider, what you think is going to happen, right, gives people in the Discord and our fans to reach out and go, this is cool, and this is what I did. And what gave me the idea is shout out to Rob Hammer, one of the guys that has been commenting and satellite rules lawyering out of nowhere all over our YouTube. And he suddenly magically appeared again in Discord when we start up the series again. And he talked about what he did in his game for downtime. He made his players go all the way to the Iskar capital and register their new deed. And I like,
you don't get credit the way the book gives you credit. I'm going to make you go on a journey for credit.
Think about it. Just because you have the
how dare you get paid right away for work you've done.
Imagine the Hell Knights, they've abandoned it, but somebody wanted to know why is somebody like squatting in their tower. They come all the way out there like, oh, no, wait a minute. I've got the deed. They go, oh, sorry. Troops turn around like, no, it's a legit idea. We've committed to some of our own surprises. We have some celebrity cameos coming up. Well, I call them celebrities. Anyone that's pulling bigger numbers than us is a celebrity in my eyes. until they're literally in front of the camera, press and play and record, I can't say any names. But you think I had three dwarves go off into the sunset so that you buggers can play three more dwarves if these guys die?
Absolutely. Yep.
Absolutely not. Nope. Yep. Nope. They are Ferent.
I'm just gonna say this though, Jeff. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And if our characters break, why break the
right?
Okay.
I got this dope idea for a new monk. He's gonna be a dwarf.
Yeah. Like that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, you're all rocks fall, everyone dies. Okay, Matt, tell me about your new dwarven character. What would you play as a dwarf?
Me as a dwarf. What would I play?
Dwarf two.
Dwarf two.
2.0.
I think I would go paladin.
Really?
Yeah.
I will phone the guy that I've got coming in February, because that's what he's going to play.
Okay, well, then I won't play a dwarven paladin.
Well, just a theory. I would think the fans would like to see you guys.
I think I'd go for one of those new advanced classes. I think a dwarven gunslinger would be pretty badass.
No, God, please. Man. What have I told you?
So tell me, do you feel lucky, punk?
This is my boomstick.
The Glass Cannon Nation, which some of which honor us with their cross listenership. Okay. They're one character that has stayed alive and not died and made it through the whole Giant Slayer campaign is Baron Redheart, the dwarven gunslinger, played by Grant Berger.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't watch.
No, I know.
I say listen to.
No, when you made a halfling on a wolf as a cavalier, obviously, no. Apologies to Joe Bryan, but yeah. But anyway, okay, interesting. And like, the second edition would be different.
I seem to have good taste. Just yeah, like great, other famous great, podcasting.
Great thoughts, right? Now, again, not that this is going to happen, but Joe, if your adopted dwarf Niles would die. You know, what if we thrust a dwarf in your hands? Oh, what? You guys all, that would be weird, right? Joe's playing the one dwarf and you guys are all playing goblins and shit. That would be fun.
That'd be a little weird.
I saw the Scottish accent slip. It was somewhere in season one. Even Cheryl caught onto it.
He's constantly walking around telling the tale of his human adopted brother.
Yeah. Have you seen him?
No, we didn't get him killed. I mean, no. Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, if Niles passes, then new character. Something that we haven't done yet. To explore different classes.
Thank you. That's nice. And like I said, I'm not demanding or expect that like every last one of you. No, of course
I still
not.
Really want to play a Shuni. I really do. So yeah. In all honesty, if this guy dies, I'm probably going to bust out that.
Now, a shout out to our friends in Norway with the Fateful Fumble podcast that play the Dragon Age RPG. They run the Kestrels. They run a bunch of stuff, and they're a great bunch. They're so much fun. I've interviewed them twice because I've gone through different parts of their cast. And they're still cast members I'd love to get my hands on to interview. One, Son of a Rose, owns a pug. And when the pug people came out, I sent her a picture and put it up online and went, hey, guys, check this out. Matt Witt will play, you know, a Shuni in your honor, because she takes pictures of him and puts them up on Instagram and stuff. Is the most adorable dog, and I'm a cat person. I think this dog is awesome. So
You haven't really met my dog. He's the most adorable of all dogs.
The most adorable of all dogs.
Of all dogs. Yes.
Of all dogs universe. Anyway, shout out to the Fateful Fumble cast and everybody. I was jumping around a couple Discord servers and saying, hey, look, there's some people. Hi, how's it going? You know, I know you. I interviewed that type of thing. So many of them were complaining about their home game in the new COVID situation, just dying. And I've talked to podcasters and said, oh, you know, like I've been doing the online thing forever. If you have any questions or you know, want some tips.
I think it works really well myself.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'll tell you how we do it. And you can decide for yourself if that's, you know, the way you want to use the tech. I got to, you know, sure. Love to help. And a lot of them went, cool. Yeah. But never occurred to me, like, they also have fans and stuff talking about their home game. you know, just to help people and just say, yeah, so like I'm saying publicly now in this podcast and on Discord, if anyone, and I mean anybody, wants to contact us and have us tell you the tragic tale of 4 to 5 years of going through different microphones, you know, recycling tech and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, the poor man's way to do a podcast as best you can and make your own decisions of like what may work. But again, it's in our experience, right? My third microphone was a Meteor Samsung mic and it constantly blew out because of my voice. And yet, Dead Aussie Gamer, Michael Kasevin, still has his to this day and he sounds great on it. You know, and it's a basic $100 plug and play microphone. It's a little silver one, looks like the old crooning mic. I still have it for sentimental reasons up there. Maybe one day we'll auction it off to a patron or something. You know, the very first, because we did a lot of Star Wars on that mic. I'll tell you, lots of Star Wars. Anyway, Niles,
yeah.
Can we have a future glimpse of Niles himself? What you may have planned.
Oh, what I have planned? Oh,
yeah. Not written in stone. I mean, like until you reveal fifth level you, you know.
Yeah. What I recommend for everybody, us and different people, is if you have an Android device, get yourself Path Builder. It is free.
It he's holding it up like it's a sponsor. Not sponsored by us, but yeah.
But no, sorry.
Camera builder.
Oh,
lost your camera.
Lost my camera.
I'm sorry to interrupt your role. That struck me as crazy funny.
But yeah, it allows you to build any character up to level 20 with current rules. So, but yeah, for Niles, since I'm already archetyped, so I'll just keep along the path of cleric / sorcerer, and then maybe if we get up high enough level, might become something else. Just to keep adding.
Just a little mystery in there.
Yeah.
One thing I have a lot of fun with is going through the books and the Nethys archive. Really good stuff. Each episode that we put up, I find a feat. Usually a feat. Sometimes something else to do with the second edition rules, but I name each episode something to do with what happened in that episode and then try to find a comparable feat. Like when you guys used to go on about Frank's armor. Right. There are feats to make it seem lighter and handle better and that type of thing. I mean, last episode, season 2, you guys are surrounded by wolves. I found a feat called Murderer's Circle.
But for the rest of us, Path Builder is so much easier than
going through a liner.
For character generation, anyways. Nethys is great for everything else.
For just about everything
else. Yeah, for any type of system.
Well, obviously, you know, you go to the source, the book. You know, like there is the book. I'm not trying to deny Paizo any of their sales or anything. But just if some websites or some, you know, books, it's just the way you absorb it, the way it's laid out might be a little different, confusing. I really like the way that the Nethys website is laid out, personally.
Yeah.
Easy to navigate. But again, you do definitely get that feeling that, you know, he could just be smacking stuff up there. You're not sure. You know, you got to double check your sources. You got to double check, you know. Work and do it. What's good for you?
No, the guy from Nethys is pretty legit. Like, I think he's actually got some Paizo.
Oh, yeah, no, I wouldn't use his stuff if I did, but I'm just saying, like, before we put our official brand on something and then, you know, down the road somebody slips or people just go, oh, yeah, we go to all these websites, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, you gotta be careful how you, you know, I use this personally, may not be for you, blah, blah,
yep,
blah. You know.
Yep, personally.
That's yeah. Like my I mean, like, everybody loves Sirenscape, right? And they're practically in bed with Paizo. Personally, I love Tim's stuff, like tabletop audio. I found it early and I did interview Tim, but that's not why I use his stuff. It's because it's awesome. And, you know, I'm actually personally one of his patrons. You know, I pay into his patron support because the stuff he puts up is quality stuff, and I use it in like all of our shows. It doesn't mean I wouldn't use Sirenscape or I don't use other sources like Anthems and, you know, some other wonderful people out there that, because of headache and possibly alcohol is a bad combination, the names elude me, so apologies. There is a lot, if you look or ask around, free resources online, music, this, that, you name it. So let's talk to Mr. Messina.
Sir.
Mr. Messina.
Mr. Ball.
Can we have a sneak peek of what's in mind for Miros when he finally, eventually, could possibly die? I mean, reach fifth level, if he survives this fight?
Sure.
What do you got?
I got stuff. Things. It'll blow your mind.
He doesn't know.
It's like a color you can't even describe.
You haven't decided, have you?
No, totally, I have.
Brian's one of those guys that plans his guy to 20th level like on the second day, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. Morales has figured out 80 to 75%. I was saying, I have him figured out. For his level 5, we can get down to... his skills, more acrobatic. What did he get? Oh, yeah, he took a rolling boulder, I believe I took.
Oh, see, I was looking at that one too, but it doesn't make a lot of sense for my character, but I saw that and was like, I know what Muros is taking.
Oh, yeah. 100%, bro. But yeah, so I became more acrobatic, and I learned how to roll into people's snaps. It's really bossy. When I first read it, I thought it wasn't that good, but then I reread it and it was actually really good. I'm just going to read it out here for those people who don't know, so they can say it now they know.
Sorry, did I leave the room on you? It's just like, yeah, keep talking. You left? Keep talking. My old shitty TV went pink. You know, I was like, I got to go rattle the VGA cord, damn thing.
Did you try the bunny ears?
I did.
All right.
I've moved them. They're good. They're good.
So I was just mentioning that I took boulder roll, and as for my racial, and I was just about to read it, which is your dwarven build allows you to push foes around just like a mighty boulder tumbling through the subterranean caverns. Take a step into the square of a foe that is your size or smaller, and the foe must move into the space directly behind it. The foe must move even if doing so places it in harm's way. The foe can attempt a fortitude saving throw against your athletics DC to block your step. If the foe attempts a save, unless it critically succeeds, it takes bludgeoning damage equal to my level plus a strength modifier.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
I
know what Muros is going to do. And I'm just like, I just watch you walk people off cliffs. I know this is going to happen.
I thought it was bad. It wasn't that good. I'm like, oh, you know, it could be really kind of tug of war. But then I really read it and I said, oh, wait, it says critically succeed.
So you take damage unless they critically succeed against your athletics DC. Just out of curiosity, what's your athletics DC?
My athletics DC. So jog my memory here. But my athletics, so it's your athletics skill plus 10, right?
Yeah.
So that's 23. So they need to get 43 to critically succeed against this.
46, wouldn't it? Is it going to double it? Or it's 20
just,
above.
Just 10 above.
Or 10 above.
It's just 10 above? Yeah.
So, but still, 33 to say to fully save against it is at level 5?
Yeah. For Muros to get a 33, he needs to roll a 20.
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty good.
Not too shabby.
It's cool. I think it's cool anyway. And it plays into your character specifically.
I can imagine.
Well.
It's just like, you know, like the belly bump.
You're going to walk into their square and they're going to be fending off the chest hair. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh.
I essentially gave Morose's chest hair an attack now.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's your dwarven natural weapon. And I know it sounds dirty when I say it, but...
All right. I'm pretty sure we are trying to be a friendly family.
Oh, we are family. Austin Powers is family friendly. Remember this.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like a baby holding an apple.
Talk about Dieter.
Yeah, well, before we talk about Dieter, let's continue with our cameo from Samantha Curl, as we stated earlier, the author of The Up and Rising, coming. Very fascinating. Got one on my shelf. Got to read it. Evening Star of the Awakening is in the house tonight.
Hello.
So we were talking about our builds, and these guys are talking about they're about to hit fifth level and what they wanted. You've made us a what? What are you?
So I am a fourth level ranger.
Okay.
My animal companion is a wolf of mine named Reyna.
Okay.
So
putting her together, like, I mean, we can go on about your stats going, 12, 18, 12, blah, blah, blah. But these guys usually start talking about, like, the feats and the background feats and abilities they took to shape, you know, which way you want to take your character.
The way I built her is almost kind of based off of the character from my book. So I made her very, very good with bow. That is her, her dedication weapon. She's taking the archer dedication. So she is all about range attack with her bow.
The dedication grants you expert and greater proficiency in certain weapon.
So I have like quick shot instead of I can't remember what it's called now, but I can pull my bow without using up an action.
Without using up one of the... Okay. Yeah, I see that here. And I've got... I see something a little roguish on your sheet here. Talk about that.
Roguish? So I definitely like stealth. I have shadow armor. So it grants me some special abilities in sneaking and pickpocketing.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got like pickpocket the feet. Is this something that anyone can take?
It's
open, isn't it?
I think it's open, but this kind of like makes it like I'm more trained in it.
Yeah, I think it requires you to be trained in thievery to take it.
Yeah, so, and then
anyone can train in thievery.
It's kind of like being a cleric and then you take the feat Turn Undead. Well, you could channel, but now you can do this with your channeling. So it's like if you took training in thievery, which is the basics. So back to Mr. Gibson, who is our rules lawyer.
Yes.
If you can't pickpocket just by being trained in thievery, then what's left besides what? Disabling a device? Like what's the basic? Let's talk about the basic skill here.
The basic skills? Well, because every skill has a base that you can do that's untrained. Right. And then other stuff that's trained. So you just give me a skill and I can tell you.
Okay. Yeah. So
what
I'm
you can do with it.
I do know this. Like, okay, thievery has palm an object, right? Where pickpocket possibly allows you to palm an object as well as, like, you know, forgo a penalty or, you know, the penalties are less, right?
Well, like with thievery,
yeah,
anybody can attempt to steal.
Okay.
That's untrained. Anybody can do it.
Right.
Same with palming an object.
Right.
Anybody can try to hide something.
Right. With a -5 penalty, because it says that's closely guarded, like in a pocket.
No. Stop jumping. Anybody can do it. There's no penalties.
Okay.
Right. It's when you become trained in a skill, i.e. for like thievery, then you can try to disable a device, i.e. pick a lock.
Okay. So why does pickpocket the feat state you can steal or palm an object that is closely guarded, such as in a pocket, without taking the -5 penalty?
Yeah,
which would make a lot.
That because the -5 penalty is when you're untrained.
Oh, okay. So that's the third level of. I gotcha. It's just reiterating. I gotcha. I see. Now. Okay.
It's because the lovely thing about this system is that you can do almost anything comparatively to other systems.
You mean besides just being a high level druid and just claw biting and getting bored with that? Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, but it's just. No, like this whole system allows, it's more like a video game. The way they designed, my understanding anyways, the way they designed Pathfinder Second Ed is take a video game and transfer it into an RPG.
Hmm. Right? For character
builds, because like now everybody does massive damage. Everybody has massive hit points.
And there's all kinds of,
And you know, the three action economy is sort of like queuing, like the old KOTAR games.
Okay.
it's along the same lines, that's why I think a lot of people like it, and then a lot of people don't like it.
Yeah, it's a again the prevalent. Sorry, but back to Samantha. Your animal companion. There's archer dedication, battle medicine, where we already know how that works. But you've got natural medicine and fleet. Let's talk about those.
So with the natural medicine, basically, it just means because I'm a ranger, instead of using like a medicine kit, I can use like leaves and berries and. I'm more attuned to nature, so I use the stuff around me for healing.
Fresh ingredients.
Yes.
That'd be great. You just pull some dwarven earwax here. I need this. Don't ask why.
Well, if it works, it works. And then with...
Yeah, I would say fleet is pretty basic, right?
I can move... my speed increases by an extra, like, 5 feet.
So what is what's your speed like without it?
Without it?
It's like 30... Weren't we talking about how everyone's speed got kiboshed down to, like, 20... Or is that just with the armor?
Armor check does that on.
Then you're down at 20. And
yeah, so armor.
They changed the halfling. I remember now. Everybody has 30. Then your halfling, instead of going down to 20, was like 25.
25. Yeah.
They were a little bit more lenient on some of the smaller folk. I remember. Sorry. That's what I was trying to remember. Okay. Sorry. So Samantha.
But they were far more severe on armor check penalties.
Okay.
Like the movement speed penalty kicks in on, I think, scale mail.
I see your speed is 30. Shouldn't it be 35?
Yeah, I think I might have to change that.
or
you might have a -5 armor check. What's your? Are you wearing studded leather? Or scale mail?
No, I know I'm not wearing scale mail. I think my armor was just like studded leather.
Yeah, I think studded leather gives you a minus five. It's changed from first edition. I don't think you started suffering penalties until you started hitting like the plate levels of armor in
movement.
Movement penalties.
I love how they give you a strength. Like, we were on about 18 strength for full plate. That's it. No, like, you need 12 strength to wear studded leather.
Mm-hmm.
Which you can't min-max your rogue with, oh, I only have 10 strength, everything's a dexterity. It's like, well, if you want to be studded.
Well, that's what you get to use it with a penalty. Yeah. You can still have a strength of 8 and wear full plate if you wish.
Sorry. Yeah. Missing, again, yeah. I'm missing the finer point there. It's like, oh, yes, you can.
Yeah.
But...
They really did design the game so you can do whatever you want. You just pay for it in penalties.
Yeah, but you know, even back in first edition, I was like, sure, you can shoot into combat, but there's a -4. And everybody's like, oh, I'm not going to shoot because I don't have the feet. I'm like, why not? You know, nope. Oh, penalty. Nope, I'm not going to. -4. What? No, you know, attack of opportunity. I'm not moving. Oh, come on.
Speaking of which, I have a question. If you were to cross class into a fighter, because fighter gets attack of opportunity as a class feat, right?
It's when you choose your archetype, like if you want to switch to a fighter archetype, then it's, I do believe it's a level 4 archetype feat.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think it is. I think it's level 4. I can't remember off the top
so
of my
you
head.
Couldn't like,
you don't get it automatically.
Prendos. Well, I guess Prendos could probably just take the feat attack of opportunity, couldn't he?
But there is no feat for attack of opportunity. It is a ability for a fighter, and then the paladin, or the old paladin, the champion, has one that's similar. It's just called different, but it's the same thing.
Oh, yeah, that's and right. Monk got one that was similar as well.
Yeah, like every fighting class, every martial class has one. It's just named
called something different.
And it triggers a bit different. It's not always the same. The monk is called stand still.
Okay.
So it's only triggered on movement.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. So if somebody's like drawing their weapon, that doesn't trigger it for you. It's if somebody steps out of your threat range or whatever, or into it maybe.
Yeah. Through one of the threatened squares.
Yeah, trying to bypass you.
Okay, that's still cool though.
So this has got to be the longest intro for a podcast ever. Sure, we could run the credits soon. I'll quickly talk us about Dieter. Now, we had Corey Shays on from our up-and-coming Starfighter podcast and from our Jared Mercer-ran Homebrew World, the World of Rotrum, which is also going to be second edition, hopefully we'll launch this year, play in the Auxiliary Cast around episode 1920.
For a crossover episode, by the way.
Thank you. It's going to get there. working on it.
Because, you know, one of the portals could access his world. Just throw things right on its head.
Oh, yeah.
Crossover.
Yeah, I would like you to try to sell the concept of any character that I won't let you play or hasn't come up yet. There's like, hey, Jared, I got this pug, an ape guy, a rat folk, and this crazy goblin chick with a raven, and they walk into your bar. Like, yeah. But seriously, let's talk about Dieter.
Dieter, what would you like to know? Just his general build?
Yeah, the general build and feats.
So he's playing a druid, but what are they called again? Druidic Order of Animal. So basically all of his like sub feats and stuff like that go into beefing up his animal companion. You still get access to the magic suites, but you lose a bit there's 4 druidic orders and they all like, one is like more about tracking, one's more about magic, one's more about the animal companion, and I forget what the other one is.
Destruction.
Storms.
Storms. Yeah, there's the shifter, there's the storms, there's the animal, and then there's the
like genetic elements, like nature. The plant guy, like the
plant
vernant
guy, yeah.
Isn't the vernant or what they call it? Right?
Yeah, you get a little leshy familiar instead.
Oh, that's
cute. That path. Yeah. Well, and this is the thing is in second ed, there are animal companions and there are familiars. And I just assumed that they would be generally the same because in the past they have generally been the same.
Yeah.
They're not. They're vastly different. So, like, for my witch, I didn't even need a character sheet for the crow because it literally says all of its stats and attacks run off of your base values. And
But with Sprocket,
like, for an animal companion, you have to have a character sheet. It has its own saves, its own bonuses, its own abilities.
I'm looking at this. I love it says companion level 4. He's like, what kind of companion is he? Is he a companion of the night? Is he, you know, I'm a level 4 companion.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
I just didn't know what else to put in there.
Primate, each his own. So, when last we left, well, I think it's time that we try to start the episode in earnest, running a few locals. Welcome to episode 2 of season 2 of the Fantasy Grounds and Devon Knight Minis sponsored Age of Ashes Adventure Path, the Elven Portal podcast. And if you guys step through a portal, we'll see.
It's coming.
Hello and welcome back. So, gentlemen, we are on the cusp of, well, actually, you know what? We're in battle. I'm bringing up the battle board, which means there's going to be some awesome music playing in the background. We finished two rounds, like barely two rounds. And I believe we got to the end of Dieter's turn. And now we're going to begin round three, which means Meros Anvilbender is up and the wargs are on deck.
Yes. Okay. Question. Step. Yes. Does that take an action?
Does a step take an action?
Or is it a free action? I can't remember.
It is an action.
It is an action. Thank you, Joe.
But it's a kind of action that does not provoke an attack of opportunity half the time. Like correct. It's a movement type of thing. There's striding, which is more than a square. And
all right. Okay. Well, at first I got give the old knuckles here a bit of a crack. And say, oh, you boys are in for some world of hurt. You're looking for corpses. Well, you found them. You were walking and you didn't even know. And I lay some beatings down there to medium beast number three. Okay, flurry of beatings. Number one. What? Buttons. Where are they? Work with me. All right. Actually, did I go into falling stone stance last game? Do you remember?
No. You hit the ground, and then we did the talking about like a stat, like a falling rock. You did. You're in it. Like, remember you slapped the ground and it, right?
Okay.
Now, do you got a burn to maintain?
Not to maintain.
Yeah, because that was the big argument. I think we're like, no, you started up, you're in the stance. When you shift stances, then you've got to burn.
Or you do something that breaks the stance, like
leave the ground with this one.
Now we are in episode two, but it's a single battle. I will count this as a single session. So any hero points, you know, reset. But any bonus ones, like the one I just gave Joe today, or any I gave out last game, you get to keep.
Like five.
No. Anyway, Meros, you're attacking the warg number three, triggering a special ability. Now that we have you surrounded, several of them use their avenging bite. The trigger trigger. A creature within reach of the warg's jaws attacks one of the warg's allies, which basically means the guys behind you, three and one, or five and one, as you attack the guy in front of you, these guys nip at your heels.
It was reactionary.
Yep. It's the, what do you call it? The curl arrow.
Reactionary.
Auto react, right? Now I'm going to check this off because it's burning. Like, they're going to burn it. And that means we are going to have a go at you. Terribly sorry.
No, you're not.
Well, like a little bit.
I have seven wounds from last game. You're not sorry.
No, I'm going to. Sorry. Arr. I just got to find the right beastie. Here we go.
Oh,
beastie number five and number, right?
One. So, he's number one. Hey. Doom,
we got to give the right guy the right amount of credit, right? Make sure the right guy's doing the jaw attack. So, doing the old biting
the
behind
dice
you. With a total of 16 and a miss for the first one.
It's a shame. It's a shame. I hate to see it.
Well, not all attacks of opportunity. Well, sorry, Avenging Blade is going to. And a 29 with a hit.
That's from the beast that I'm attacking?
No, this is from number. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I used the wrong beast, but I'll keep the roll.
As
is custom. Unless you want to risk, you know.
Risk not getting hit?
I've got possible crit. So you are going to take, sir, 1d8 plus 4 piercing plus grab.
Oh, my Grundle.
So you've been grabbed.
He gets to make a grab. He doesn't
get it. Yeah, he doesn't just get it.
So hang on. So he gets.
I would have been all over those kind of feats.
If earlier. I may finish, gentlemen.
No.
He gets a grab. I didn't say he succeeded, but the piercing attack grants him a grab. And I've got to look at the 29. And then I was just about to ask, I've got to roll against your fort or compare my attack. I don't know if it's a second roll,
because I think I usually rest on this stuff. I'm pretty sure it's against my fort.
Athletics, it was athletics.
No, it's athletics.
Fort. Yeah, his athletics versus your fortitude, I believe.
Yeah, because my athletics is pretty juked.
Yeah, but your fortitude, you're on the receiving end. I'm attacking you, not the other
That's
way
right.
around.
Yeah, no, so I'm just trying
his
to remember.
Athletics versus
no, he's
versus fortitude.
Right.
So the warg's athletics.
Oh, the warg's athletics. Okay.
He makes an athletics.
When you
check?
Say his and you're talking to the GM, I think you're talking about Ryan. Oh, it's his.
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
I backwards. Picked up on that. I was like, oh,
okay, wait a minute.
I should specify.
You should stay out of it while I'm talking one on one, please, unless I hang my head. Which I know is a lot in this system, you know. Wait till called upon to prove that I don't know anything, as opposed to just jumping right in. Okay,
is that hanging head in shame or just hanging head?
A little both.
Or when you ask how something works, then
no. Wait till I ask how something works.
But
then
you did ask. You Damn said, it. "How does this work in this system?"
I was talking to Mr. Gibson. Obviously, I was talking to Mr. Gibson.
Oh,
yeah, I know.
You got way too much mic tying on like every show I have, Mr.
It's this is what taking forever for me to search. So.
Okay, so my athletics versus your fortitude. So making the athletics check to manipulate the grab with a 22. I believe your fort is like at 10. Like you take the DC 10 and add your fort to it.
Which is 22.
Yeah, so not easy, but just grabbed you.
So I am grabbed.
You are grabbed. So we will give you the grab condition. Now, something I want to bring up really quick, okay? Because an avenging bite and so many monsters have a reaction, not necessarily a attack of opportunity, but something. We were on the precipice of making a really bad decision, and I rely on Joe heavily, but there's one book he's not allowed to look in, is the Bestiary. And I had reservations about the 20 natural crit, the natural one fumble being confirmed, and then that 10 in between, the anything over 10 is a crit, a possible crit, and anything below 10 is a fumble, but people are like, no, you don't do nothing. It's just a miss. It's just a miss. Well, if it was just a miss, I mean, there's everything up to minus 10, which counts as a miss. If they start talking about critical fumble, critical fail, there's got to be something. When you get to that threshold that I missed by 10 or more, there are several creatures that trigger special attacks. And that, I believe, is what balances and replaces, not every creature, but some. And I think that's the balance that they've inserted that I neglected to read up on and that you guys weren't aware of. So we are back to season one, as it were, as far as me trying to insert, I will not cost you an action. Despite, I believe, I think we waited till the end of the game before Joe went, Joe?
No.
Oh, why, Joe? Why is this unfair for you specifically? Care to explain?
Well, it wasn't just me specifically.
Yeah. The world of casters.
Just for anything, because with this system, having your three actions only, until you get to higher level, if you take away an action, that's a real hamper. That's not a minor thing. That's a major thing.
Even in a single round. Anyway, we are still learning this, and we are going to make mistakes. Myself specifically as the GM, probably going to make a lot. And we do appreciate people dropping comments or look, oh, we figured this out on our own without any help from me.
Yay.
So happy I figured one thing out. So we ask that you bear with us. That you forgive us the mistakes made, and we can't necessarily retcon some stuff, but some things like, oh, last session you fell off a cliff, you know, you're still in the middle of battle, you've got 20 hit points, let's roll and see, you know, to make it fair, because it was like a boss fight or whatever. I will totally retcon some, oh, I owe this guy damage or whatever, as long as it went around or it makes sense. You know, we can't go back a whole season, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there is some leeway into the past episode, and of course, making things right in the future. So, that said,
speaking of which, before we make another mistake here, does the avenging bite resolve before or after Muros makes his attack? Because him
before
being grabbed might affect his attack.
It says trigger a creature within reach of the warg's jaws attacks one of the allies.
Okay, so his resolves first.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So maybe let him resolve his attack before you apply the grab.
Jeff?
Yeah.
I really hate to do this to you.
Oh, no, you don't.
Yeah, no, my AC is actually 24 because I'm in mountain stance.
Oh, yeah.
But is it your fortitude?
My AC is at 24. Nobody hits
me. Yeah, you didn't hit him.
29.
Unless, first place.
29. Oh, sorry.
29.
29. I failed to see that.
Scroll back.
No.
29 for the attack.
Yeah.
22.
Yeah. Okay, cool. No. That's...
You got anything else?
No, that was it.
Would you like to drop a hero point? Try and mess up?
Actually, 24? I'm in 30. I'm in 30. Sorry.
Are you just making this shit up?
30? I'm in 42.
You know, I really hate it when I've got to take
Would
a moment
you believe?
And look at your freaking character sheet, because I hate to go, let me see your character sheet. And if you can't trust the guy you play with, and here I am looking at Messina's sheet.
Can I put in 2 cents here?
Yeah.
Sure.
Everybody's getting grabbed, which is a special ability, with grapple mixed up. Grapple is a character ability. Grab is a creature ability.
Okay, so go on.
So if the monster's last action was a success with a strike that lists grab as its damage entry, it automatically grabs the person.
Oh, that's what I said. You guys are so convincing.
We only know it from our side, except for Joe.
No. I don't care that I was right and something wrong, because I actually let him. I was like, oh, yeah, because we spent so much time in grappling, right? Yes. But no, important distinction. So the 29, which was my original attack roll, does succeed at both hitting you, and the 29, which I get to keep.
Yep.
Is, do I have to compare that to his fortitude?
No, it just happens.
It's not a nice success.
Okay.
Which sucks, but it's...
There could be a variant in hitting you and like getting a hold of you, you know. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, no, there quite easily could be. Yeah. But this is good to know.
But very good to know. 29, I'll let Joe look into it and we'll move on. Now, you got it? Okay.
Yeah. So basically the effect for the grab is the monster automatically grabs the target until the end of the monster's next turn. The creature is grabbed by whatever body part the monster attacked with. Mm-hmm. And that body part can't be used to strike creatures until the grab is ended.
Yeah, the two guys have grabbed you with their jaws.
Yeah, but that that body part is the specific one.
So he can't use bite attacks.
If they're biting his ankles, he can't use his legs.
Thank you for saying ankles.
Oh, which takes you out of your stance?
No.
Because you're not doing... I'll think about it.
Why would it take me out of my stance?
If he was using dragon stance, then yes. Because he has to use his legs to fight. Attack.
Mouse stance requires me to touch the ground.
Oh, okay, so as long as we don't trip you or something,
touching the ground.
As long as they don't throw me off the ground. Yeah.
No, I just thought like he's in a stance and we yank on your legs. It's like, well, is that going to break that?
Giant condor comes along, grabs me, flies away.
It would break some stances. I'm sure there are stances that are reliant on not being held.
Now there is no grab condition. There's only a grappled condition.
Can I
apply this?
Yep. So. Using the grab extends for the duration of the monster's grab until the end of the next turn. A grabbed creature can use the escape action to get out of the grab.
Right.
The grab ends by the grabbed creature if the monster moves away from it.
And for those of us who are in the audience and don't know what that does, what does it do, Jeff?
Well, first I want to know, you want to fall through the strike. I mean, you were striking, they grab you, you want to fall through here and resolve that. Okay, so
Larry Beatons.
Right. I have the grab condition on you, so, you know, like I said, it's time sensitive. Like, oh, you're suddenly grabbed, but you finish your attack.
Grab. Wait, are they serious? Senpai.
What about double grab? Can I go times two?
I'm trying to keep it family rated here, Jeff.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so first bait into the face.
And, you are...
Targeted? Yes.
You're looking to target the proper guy?
I am targeted. Okay. I believe. Yes. Effect grabbed.
Okay.
And falling stone strike number one.
Natural one.
Critical miss.
Natural one. Ow.
Starting the game off with a flourish.
Yes. Now, interesting point someone brought to my attention is wargs, have an intelligence of 8. Now, a lot of people, this is a personal opinion, intelligence is book smarts, what they read, what they learn, not necessarily experience. Wisdom, however, your intuition, and, the dog is wise enough not to get smacked twice in the head, feed, yes, down type of thing. They do work in tandem, but not strictly intelligence. So if you look at a warg's stats, and I was reminded that a warg has a intelligence traditionally of 8 and a wisdom enough to give it a +2, this is a pretty smart pooch. It learns. And of course, they're doing a classic wolf tactic, but even more. Something interesting, they have languages. Common, goblin, orcish. They don't speak languages. So I will decide that since they don't speak common, goblin, and orcish, they don't have names. They may have grunts and whistles and smells and ways of elf war communicating, but I doubt they have, some may argue that they may have, they don't have their own language, so I doubt they necessarily have, fluffy and barky and snippy and stuff. So I won't make you pull.
Oh, come on, that makes them so much more exciting to fight.
Oh, hang on.
No, fluffy and nippy and barky. Org names ever, dude.
Hang on. I'm using this to set up preppers, okay? I could be a douche and say, well, they have a language, they have intelligence. Obviously, they have names. When we say in our home, well, it's not a homebrew, but in our decision that we pull cards for named creatures, I mean named by the module. The adventure story has said, this creature is called Bob. Crit cards away. Okay? So I don't want... I would like, very nice, that players and fans alike don't state the argument, not that anyone has yet, just a little preemptive strike here, showing me stats and stuff going, well, obviously they have a name. Why didn't you pull cards for this creature? Well, the story didn't name them, and that's yep. the story is what's relevant
yeah.
over a combat too. Okay. However, yeah, you hit Fluffy for how much?
Was that? I don't. I
oh, you missed. Sorry. Right. Critical.
Well, my first strike was a miss. Second strike? Flurry.
Right.
Be good. Oh, that's good. 28. Critical. That's a critical.
Mm-hmm.
Not a natural, but it is a crit.
Yes.
That is.
Now, that being said, it was your role. You have a name. And we got rid of all that plus 10 critical, minus 2 dice or whatever. We still had maintained that if a named character rolls a natural 1 or a natural 20, the cards come out.
Yeah, so, but so, I didn't roll a nat 20.
No, but you rolled a nat 1.
But you did roll a nat 1.
So out comes a card.
Am I going to be deaf again?
Nope.
No, this time you just lose an arm.
I'm okay with that.
Funny you should say that.
You fumble your weapon.
Funny you should say that. Oh, it gets better. You said arm, right? First of all, this melee fumble is called hand it over. And it says, unless you succeed at a reflex saving throw, your target gains possession of your weapon.
Well, it did grab me. So technically... That's a true statement.
I said the feet, and you were very big about it grabbed my ankles because I said it was ankle biting. Anyway.
Well, actually, I said Grundle. Joe
it's okay.
said.
It's okay. Hang on.
I like Joe's version better.
It's a brand new warg. So the guys behind you have you by the ankles. You're punching the warg in front of you.
Yeah.
Roll a reflex, or I'm going to give it a grab of your, you know, has possession of your, you know, maybe has all your right. sleeve, you know. Oh, it pulls your clan dagger from your belt.
29.
A warg that steals. It just pulls his clan dagger out of his belt. What?
Now it's dangerous. It's a dog with a knife.
Now it says reflex saving throw. It doesn't say against once. I'm assuming it's against the attack. Against the creature's natural DC. Joe, shall we talk about a creature's DC? This is a new thing in second edition. We've talked about it, but we never used it.
Yeah, well, I would explain more, but I'm not allowed to read the bestiary, so.
No. Characters.
You.
Characters.
Oh, class DCs. Oh, we have those.
Yeah, beasties have always had a CR. I'm talking about a character that now has a difficulty class for the character, for subset abilities. So if you're uncertain about, like this, reflex against what? Against the actual character. You guys have a standard DC you calculate with your, I think it's like 10 plus your level plus...
Your key modifier.
Yeah, key modifier, blah, blah, blah. And it's a DC of whatever sort of still left vague for certain roles coming at you, right?
Yeah.
Anyway... A reflex against the warg would actually be, so a warg is a CR2, you had 10 for the base, so we're talking like 12, and even if I added its prevalent ability, we're talking 16 top, so 29, I would say, is a success on the reflex, and it grabs your knuckles and drags down to your sleeve, or the bracers.
I'm seeing something that's kind of dirty that may apply to this too.
What's that?
Pack attack.
Go on.
The warg strike steal an extra 1d4 damage to creature within the reach of at least two of its allies.
Oh, hi. We're getting to that.
Okay.
I said look up the header of something. It just starts. Stop reading.
Would you like to know more?
No, but you know what? I think Dieter owes me a resolve, a reaction, what is it when you try and remember shit about creatures?
Knowledge check.
Thank you.
Recall.
Yeah.
Call action.
A recall.
Yeah, I made a knowledge check on these boys.
Yeah. We'll give us some recall from Dieter. And anyway, so Miros, you were doing the attacks.
Yes, I crit.
They were resolved, and we had the crit fail. And then your second.
My second strike landed. So it should automatically do critical damage if I remember right with Fangs Ground.
Yep.
Oh, be good. That's 11.
Okay.
Okay.
That's good. Well, it's a 1 and 2, but at least it rolled 2 dice.
It did. No, it's...
But it's not a natural 20. Yeah.
No.
Now, at any time, though, you know something we could do? Mm-hmm. You know, you guys could sacrifice, you know, be willing to give up one of your dice for a card, just for flavor. I'll still keep that on the table.
And honestly, against some boss fights, I could see that being a thing. Mm-hmm. I could see it being like, especially in the early fight, it's just like, roll that natural. I'll just do regular damage, but give me that card because you could get something that mess that creature up for the whole
battle. Spell casters and
yeah
anyway, so 11 points to me, Yes. Okay, so despite it getting a hold of your bracer and whatever, your second strike, yeah. It's, you know, those bar fights where they just grab the guy, and now they have contact, they look away, and they just connect the fist towards the other fair. It's yeah. exactly what happens to you. This thing grabs you, and you went, oh, thanks. Easy to hit. You know, you just reach over, slam, slam, slam. The beatings, as you
batons.
Call it. The batons.
Have commenced. So have that's commenced. My first action.
What?
I flurry of blows. I'm a monk. I flail. Like a man who's drowning in water and looking for something solid to stand on.
Oh, you continue. I'm just going to have a beer and a cigarette. What?
Sounds good.
No.
All right. So
I don't smoke, man.
So
I have to pay attention to this combat, obviously, closer.
So my second action, third attack.
Oh, yeah. Here comes the penalties, right?
Yeah. Well, there's an attack on my last one, too. A penalty, anyways. I was at a plus 15, then a plus 11. Now I'm at a plus 7.
Yeah.
Hadouken.
You still take the penalties to hit. You just don't have to burn the extra action to get the second attack because it's a flurry.
I believe a flurry allows me to get two attacks in one action, but right. I still get the multiple attack penalty.
Yeah.
So 26.
Ouch.
All right.
So now he's just reaching over. Let go.
Haymakers.
Yep. So pummel. Yeah. Like he just pummels this thing. Just buff, 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 buff. And it's just down it goes.
All right. And so that's medium beast three. Now I turned, it was number one that bit me, right?
One
miss and then one bit and grabbed.
Oh, right. Sorry.
And that was number one.
Yes.
So bam, I believe I am, yes, targeting the one who is grabbing me now. I give him a little taste because he looks like he's hungry. Oh, you want a little taste there, buddy? Let me give you some more. Bitons.
Okay.
19.
Okay. If I may.
So, I rolled my 19, and I strike him for some damage. So boy, you're still hungry. And I just kind of spin on the foot that he's biting and holding in place, and then I kick him in the side of the head with my free foot. Ah. Yeah. And I give him a good doggy treat.
We had two grabs in here. Sure, we had two.
Yeah, the first one that grabbed him died.
No, that's the guy in front. I'm talking about the two behind him. Five and one grabbed him.
The one in front grabbed him. The one behind grabbed him.
He attacks the one in front, triggering the two behind. And the two behind grabbed him.
And one missed.
What? One of the two behind him missed.
Oh, I thought we had it. Okay, go on.
The first roll was a miss.
Leg free.
With a 16.
So I kick him for 7 points of damage.
Do the Van Damme where he just kind of slowly pivots and shows the boot tread. That'd be great. Please tell me that you have your clan symbol burned like a boot tread logo in the bottom of your foot, right? So you're stamping people with
a broken anvil.
Yeah, like
the Muros mark.
There you go. It just starts, you know. It was a strange birthmark, and they went, "Well, obviously he's part of your clone because that looks like a broken anvil," and they adopted you, the chosen one. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, that's them all.
Oh, you're finally done. Oh, thank you. Thank God.
I only have three actions.
And that's what you get, GMs, for attacking out of turn. Your guys die. Don't do it anymore, right? So, speaking of the guy you just nailed, okay, I've used my Avenging Bite, but he does get a legitimate strike using his jaws with a 9, getting 20 on Miros.
And it says he releases the grab?
Oh, right, sorry. I can maintain this to the end of my next turn.
Oh, my Lord. It's been ages for me, so
no,
I'm
like,
pretty sure you didn't at the beginning of your round.
It hasn't been my round. Like I said, like, I grabbed you.
Yeah,
you
on my turn, but then you maintain at the beginning of your turn, I'm pretty sure.
If it comes around, anyway, it literally states I'm allowed to, like, my next.
Yeah, but you're only allowed one reaction per turn.
No, I'm talking about, like, I grabbed him. I grabbed him. Not even my turn. Now it's my turn. I'm still holding on, and it says I get to maintain this to the end of my next turn.
Yes.
So any maintaining is like next round, not this one. My question is, can I just damage you with a grab?
There are ways.
But I don't have any other weapons. So what I think they're going for here is pile on. Yeah, some grab and some move in.
Yeah.
So anyway, since we are smart and we saw what happened to Fluffy that grabbed you, he's going to let go because it is that smart and it will let go and try to reattack you. Oh, sorry. I already rolled with the 20.
And you got a 20 again. So, hey.
Hey, yeah. So, anyway, 20 says it hits you, but I thought you said your AC was higher.
Yeah, my AC's 24.
So, why is it saying I'm hitting you?
I don't know.
Oh, because you grabbed.
Oh, because he's grabbed. So, he uses his dexterity. Oh, but you release the grab to make that attack.
Yeah, and I haven't added. Let me just...
Right, so what I'll do... So, the you've grabbed, my buddy attacks you with the 20, gets a hit, and this guy lets go, and misses with his. That way I'm just holding the rolls and until you guys learn to stop holding yours. So anyway, I know a bit of a dicey thing, but it keeps, you know, I'm trying to cut down on like, oh, well, reroll, because in my eyes, that's a worse, you know. Anyway, so
I think you're right, Jeff.
Miros is grabbed by one. The guy that missed you takes advantage of your condition, gets a successful strike with a 20, and does 10 points of damage on you. In tandem, his buddy, let's go, tries to strike you, only gets 20. I will remove the grab condition from you, and obviously it misses.
Okay, don't remove the grab condition because he's the other one successfully hit, so now he's re-grabbed.
Possibly.
It's not possible if the strike succeeds, he's grabbed.
Oh, that's right.
That's only for the... What's it called?
For the warg?
For the warg's reaction.
No, it's any attack. Any bite attack adds pierce, that grab.
Oh, okay.
They're nasty. Sorry.
So, I don't know. I'm not allowed to read it.
So it goes down like this. One's holding you. He attacks, gets the damage, holds on, gets the free grab. The other one, oh, thanks, Bob. Let's go. And reattacks you. And you actually get hit twice because we're smart. We're wicked smart. And you take another 11.
What is this minus for flat foot or for grabbed? It's got to be 4 at least, right?
Yeah, it's not great.
That sucks.
This is gonna
nasty to fight in groups.
Yeah.
Oh, like, here's 6 of them.
So moving along the table, okay? So these two start grab, release, and hit Miros twice for a total of 21 points. And he's taking 10 from the first, 11 from the second. And it's automatically calculated. Like, that should go in there. Moving to your ape and the others, right? Now, like I said, there is a communication circle. There is a certain, you know, that kind of thing. However, we're also smart enough that if we just circle a guy that's half down and ignore people that would just come and circle us, you know what I mean? Like, to break off from the archer would to get shot in the back, to try to step around this giant ape to hit the back of Miros, as clever as that would be, just invites the ape to come follow me and hit me in the ass. And we're not that stupid. However, I got a free guy under a catwalk who's going to move stride 5, 10, one more because it's double. Oh, geez. It's so bad. The cardinal movement between first, second, Star Wars, and the second diagonal counts as 2 still, as far as I know. So he goes underneath Miros for 1, goes diagonal for 1 more. That's 10. His second diagonal counts as 10. It's a total of 20 feet. And funny enough, these things are not as fast as a wolf. They're big, but I don't think these things have like that 50-foot. Their movement is not.
I don't think it
isn't. That was one of the first things I noticed. 40 feet. Okay, we still got lots left.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think second edition wolves only have 40 feet. It was first edition they had 50.
Right. So I'm at 20, 25, entering Miros' threatening zone. 30. Miros, am I triggering anything with your stance? I know you're not a fighter.
If you move through, yeah.
What am I triggering?
Stand still.
Okay.
I attack you.
Attacking. Well, let's talk about stand still.
All right, let's talk. Let me find out where it is so I can just read it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, this thing's trying to zip by you and get behind you.
Yeah, no, I tried. Stand still. So the trigger is a creature within your reach uses a move action or leaves a square during a move action it's using. You strike out at your foe as your foe tries to flee. Make a melee strike against the triggering creature. If the attack is a critical hit, the trigger was a move action, you disrupt that action.
So all you got to do is beat my AC by 10.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be crit. But it doesn't have to be natural 20. And again, this is playing into how cool it is with the extended crit. Okay, so he steps up beside his pal and is trying to fly by you, and you do what?
I give it a quick little dunk on the head with the fist, like the falling hammer.
Yep. Yeah. The dolt drop, like, psh, silly. You're not going anywhere. Okay. And roll.
19.
Which hits, but doesn't crit.
Nope. But I get damage.
You do.
6.
Six points. Now I've shifted your target to him. He is wounded and I continue on. That was 25.
I don't think I did target him. No, that went on to the beast.
I switched.
Oh, you swept me? Sweet.
Oh, yeah. While you were talking, the DM is working to at least make up for my page incompetence. I've got fantasy grounds down. I'm always working. Always manipulating the tech. Anyway, I'm at 25. Stepping behind you diagonally is 30. And getting behind you to set up the flank for these guys is, you know what, I'm just going to shortest path, right? So that diagonally these guys are flanking you and I got a little bit of cover. So ending my movement here behind you over your shoulder, and I still should get my attack on you despite me being a little bit groggy, shall we say?
Sure.
A little rattled. A little, you know. So now that I have entered a fray with two extra of my allies, not just one, but two, okay? We have what's called a pack attack. Now, I had three guys lined up attacking you in tandem. And I didn't want to pull this out, but I actually owe you pack attack damage from those last, from the, like, before you took down that one guy. The very first, right? But I believe I have to, this wouldn't stat, like, I can't use Avenging Bite. I don't think it'd be fair to use Avenging Bite for the extra, you know what I'm saying? Like, when I decide to attack you, it's one thing, and I'll get the pack attack on top of it. To say that we're surrounding you, and then it sets off Avenging Bite attacks, and they get pack attack stacking? That,
I think it would stack.
It's possible,
but
that's...
Because it doesn't say, it doesn't differentiate for the, because I'm sorry, I did read the bestiary thing. It does say specifically if you are engaged with threatened by three or more, they all get an extra D4.
In fairness, in this very adventure, we were talking about retconning damage for you guys as well as the baddies. So there was, how many attacks did we succeed in before
just,
he dropped?
Just one. The first attack is the only one that would have counted because the next attacks... the Avenging Bite missed, and he downed the other one in his attack round. And
right,
his attack round was that round.
I owe you 2 points of damage, Ryan, if you want to put that in there.
Sweet.
Okay. So moving on. So
nasty
this
creatures. They're just nasty creatures.
Oh yeah, like it's like, oh, we're wolves, but if they start getting a hold of you, you know.
So how can I get a pack of them?
we have a pack of them.
You have a warg puppy, remember?
Oh my god.
We all have a warg puppy.
Yes. Do you remember those? Which dinosaur movie was it? Where the idiot put eggs in the backpack and, wow, those raptors are really persistent.
The one that shan't be named.
Yeah. Do you remember we found like a single warg on Hell Knight Hill? Right?
No, two.
Yeah.
So I decided in my DM wisdom, maybe its pack is roaming around. I mean, instead of just pulling a random encounter, which technically this is, at least that plays into the story a little bit going, hey, remember that?
Oh, you
know
what you did there. That's clever.
Yeah, thank you. You know, but now go ahead, pull him out. He's got that big symbol on his forehead. And he's like, why are they looking at me, master? You know, and the wargs are all like, right, you know, we'll see. We'll see. It could happen. I really hate to reveal this early, but you kind of forced my hand since you read the freaking book. Yeah, I know, right? Go ahead, say it. I think Matt was petitioning for something about a GM point. What was it? No. Nah, it's fine. I have a whole book of nasties to play with. I don't need your little hero points to survive. I think that's my best Scottish yet.
You get a DM point.
Yeah, I was saying, right.
Now, a DM point, you can use give your people, players, magical artifacts.
Well, actually,
yes, that's the only use.
You know what I do have? I have gold points giving out to our $20 tier patrons where we can use them to help players, you know, that type of thing, baddies. A new tier has arrived in our Patreon page. $25, the patron gets to decide exactly which character, which player, which game, or which villain, which NPC, which trap that goes off gets that
nasty
point, gets that roll.
Don't tell Coop.
Actually, Coop's like, you sure you can't bring that down to my $10?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, dude, you would be all over them, you know.
He wants Rahal to die so bad.
You tell Brendan. Anyway, sorry. Keeping it in game here. So resolving, I believe, our initial actually get to this one guy that's swinging around behind you.
One. I counted way more than one guy.
No, I mean, like, the guy whose turn it is trying to get to you, because we were like, oh, retcon damage, and, you know. But sticking my little flag here on you, you have a new condition. It's called flanked. Because now you are.
That happened to a friend of mine before.
Oh, you know what? It's not a condition.
Oh.
No, it's not.
And did we not already have the argument? whether flanked just gives bonuses or incurs flat-footed?
Flank just gives bonuses. It does not give flat-footed because sneak attack operates on flanked creatures or flat-footed creatures.
Yeah, more of a trigger set for other things.
But weren't we looking that up for first edition? Think about it. You were weird. That was Dice for Dishonor, dude, because Aiden was looking that up.
Remember? You're right.
Yeah. So
is it different in second?
I don't know.
Well, let's ask Nethys.
Joe?
Go, Joe, go.
Joe?
Yeah. No, it is different.
Do tell. That's funny. It's like the hyenas in Walt Disney's Lion King, and we're like, Ed? Ed?
No, because I do believe flanking in first ed provides flat-footed to the individual because it denies your dex.
Flat-footed he is.
Right, but that's in first ed. Second ed.
Actually, it's not. We actually proved it different first recently.
Yeah.
We spent 20 minutes combing over it, and it was a mistake on talking about the rogues and what is denied for uncanny dodge, because the argument was, well, if the rogue has uncanny dodge, blah, 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 you reread it carefully. It's like, oh, there's a, you know. Anyway. So, bringing around and trying to finally execute, you know, this strike on Mr. which beast am I? Beast 4. Okay. Beastie number
-4.
-2
circumstance penalty to AC because you become flat-footed by being flanked in second ed.
But you do become flat-footed.
Yes, you do. That's nasty.
But
Aren't I already flat-footed, though?
No, you're grabbed.
Grabbed, yeah.
Doesn't that give flat-footed?
No, it has its own penalties.
Yeah, well, no, I think it's the same penalty, but it's a different term. No,
I think grabbed denies your dex, and then...
Yeah, but I think sneak attack still operates on the flanked or...
Flat-footed used to be no dex. This is saying -2. It's coming up with an actual modifier, which means the dex denial is probably triggered some other way. Anyway, getting back to biting Mr. Miros. With a natural 15 plus 26, but not a crit, but it does hit. Miros is getting chewed on. Boy, I bet you're glad you volunteered to take Niles to your brethren. Another 11 points. Dude, that's 32 points. And the pack attack. Terribly sorry.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
Jesus Christ, remember that.
D4. No, I'm kind of sorry. This character is growing on me. I have to finally admit it. Another 2 points from the pack attack as they're really, really digging in. These things, the jaws on these things are that elongated Disney nasty wolf jaw. They actually have that extra long, you know, the extra teeth. It actually protrudes out much further than the canine. And they unhinge. This thing opens up. This thing looks like it could swallow a small child or a halfling. So glad we're not playing one.
So essentially, I have like a living fur coat right now.
Yeah, just rarm.
Okay, hold on. I'm like, I got this. It's okay. I got this.
Right. So... I'm just getting so we're wrapping and wrapping around so often. Did I do the guys behind you? Yes, no,
They were tandem. Intrinsic teamwork maneuver.
So finally moving on away from the puddle, which is becoming Muros, let's talk to Samantha about a warg attacking you. Number 6. Warg number 6. Hi, my name is Fluffy. Scratches. You know, Mr. Scratches to you. And he would like to, unfortunately, cause you harm. I mean, it's my nature. We got to survive. We are very interested in food and survival. And you look like you could be digestible. Attacking you with an 18 plus 29 is a hit on the Lady Evening Star. Yes. And this thing gets a hold of a leg. And you take 8 points of damage total.
Okay.
And it is going to take a proverbial step to, with its second action, to the right, and it's back-to-back with the one going on Miro. Sort of like a little cover, you know. I'm just like, you ever see a dog get something and pulls it, it just starts kind of doing that sideways shift, almost like your tires are sliding in the back of the driveway?
So it didn't grab with its hit?
Oh, yeah. But it's changing its position. And I'm not dragging her, I'm moving me. I'm pivoting. I'm just trying to be like, you know, got the leg and it's like trying to turn, right? There's nothing in this about, I don't want to get into repositioning yet, but I get a hold and I take a step. And with the damage, there's no pack because, you know, we're on our own. I get a hold of you, and unfortunately, you also are now smitten with the grabbed condition. Moving on to my last standing, we're gonna call him Warg. Puddles is actually, you know, actually Jackson Aris Senior, right?
Oh,
oh, no, maybe is going toe to toe with your ape right now, and he. Sorry, I just want to get this. So, coming around to my last Warg, now that Althea has been officially grabbed. Now, we don't have a character on this mini. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to cheat.
Oh, for...
So, against a very large... Oh, sorry, medium-sized primate?
Yeah, medium.
Medium-sized. He'll get even... What, this thing gets bigger. Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. He does.
He does. He does. It's going to happen. What'd you say?
No, don't let him get eaten.
No, you were not talking about Ryan.
But we're all typical Muro's fashion, jumps right into the pile of wargs, right in the middle. I've got this. Ah!
Yeah. They've got me. They've got me. What?
It's all part of my plan.
Oh, yeah.
So with a natural one, critical miss against the warg.
The ape doesn't even bother to dodge. He doesn't have to.
Yeah. I like crit misses with cards. I think they're entertaining. I don't see a problem with, you know. Who is that? I am slowed until the end of my next turn.
Oh, that's actually debilitating.
Yeah, that's cool. I like it. I'm digging it. Got to use these cards somehow because, you know, if I wait for you guys to pull them out.
So. Sorry.
No good happen.
I know I have my own name. My name is Puddles. Scratches. And Fluffy's dead. Fluffy's dead. I get his stuff. Wait a minute. No, we don't really have belongings.
He skins them.
Get his intestines. Sorry, we were just saying that I am slowed. Slowed one. Because apparently there are different levels of slowness, but we'll get into that later. So when it comes back around my town turn, we'll talk about slowed. But now that I'm finally out of... We're down one warg, and we're to Niles. Niles, you are up, and... Alethea, you are on deck. Niles, what do you want to do?
All right. Can you do me a favor and target Muros for me, please?
Sure.
Because I would like to cast a spell.
Oh, okay. For a second there, I was worried you might have been, you know, shifting sides.
Yeah.
No, he's weak now.
Yep.
I will target Muros.
And with...
I will start casting.
And betray him on the spot. What?
That's right.
The chest hair will be mine.
Yeah. He's a totem. I guess you could lean out and see him.
All right. Cast away. Let's see if she works easy enough.
What are you casting?
A heal.
First level, second level, cure light. The heal ability?
There is no cure light anymore. Old man stuck in his old ways.
It's been a whole season. You know, we haven't played this like since August. Like, we came around, we played for a full year, released one season, and then we went off and played Evil and a bunch of stuff, and we're coming back around New Year, January. Boy, we gotta get the season going again.
Yeah,
you know.
So, well, heal is a first level spell.
Oh, it is.
That can be heightened every level.
Okay.
So, and there's multiple ways to cast heal. You can cast it as one action, two actions, or three actions. I am using the two action ability.
Okay.
Which allows me to target a creature.
Ooh. Very nice.
Up to 30 feet.
Oh.
And I get to increase the amount of hit points.
He is 20 feet away, but you are, what did we say, 10 feet on the first platform? Good 10, 15 feet up. So, yeah.
I hit him with sound burst, so it's the same distance.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
No, just trying to remember that, you know, so
yeah.
different episode. And here it comes. Dun da da dun. What'd you get?
I don't know, I have to scroll down. He gets 27 hit points back.
It actually says heal 27 to Muro status wounded. It actually tracked it in Fantasy
Grounds. Nice.
Thank you, Fantasy Grounds.
That's so sweet.
It's like it happened magically. There you go. Even though you can't hear that awesome effect of your healing spell.
Ability to summon a god choir?
Yeah. I just realized I put my OBS on the screen, but I got to move to the sound effect. Gonna have to fix that later. So.
And with my last action, I would like to draw a weapon, my hand crossbow that I haven't used since season one.
You have a crossbow?
Yeah, a hand crossbow that I used in this area.
You know,
season one.
I can't talk about the dark times in 4717 where no one ever finds any crossbow bolts lying around, no matter where you are or who you are. But here in 1719, they're lying around. People have them propped up chairs. They're just crossbow bolts everywhere. There's some in the bushes. You just don't ever worry about running out.
It's actually a bit of an epidemic in this area.
Yeah.
And I'm done.
Okay. I think we missed Matt's misery.
I'm just pouting by myself.
Proud joke. If you enjoy one of our podcasts, we are thrilled. But I got to say, there is so much more if you listen to more, because we have obviously jokes and instances. And because in the Pathfinder series, all the adventure paths are only 2 years apart, we have cameos from characters that concur and go back and forth and all kinds of things. One podcast literally affects another. And if Aidan Willems' character Fafal in Mummy's Mask and traveling 2 years later into Dice Before Dishonor isn't proof of that, well, I'm just saying, the more you listen to our pods, it's okay. Yeah, I'm kind of doing the Avengers thing where it's like, okay, well, if you didn't watch Ant-Man, a lot of these jokes aren't relevant. You didn't watch the Thor Dark World 2. Some of you might miss a few jokes, but anyway.
It's the RPGU.
RPGU. Oh, I like that. I'm going to write that down. No one take that. You hear me? You. I'm talking to you, the listener. Don't steal that. It's a new podcast. The RPGU. RPGU. I love it. That's our new show. Aletheia.
I'm going to shoot the one that just attacked me.
Only been an hour 40 minutes. Thank you for waiting.
Slowest bite ever.
Slowest. Well, we had 30 minutes of like talking about how, oh, a character did this, and I'd like to take this feat.
You're going to discover Fantasy Ground hates us. Just, yeah. I hope Jeff told you that before.
You know, I don't think
I gathered that
Fantasy Ground hates us. I think it needs some warm up. I think that's what it is. Because I've noticed early game, all of our dice rolls typically suck. It's the opposite. It flips the table.
Would you mind calling it out? Like, I know that they can see it, but this is more a podcast than a vodcast. Well, actually, probably this. Actually, this show is actually doing better on YouTube than it is in the podcasting community. But what did you get?
And that one making it a plus 11.
I've got a card just for you.
Yay.
Ranged attack. It's called What Are the Odds? If this is a thrown weapon attack and the target can hold the weapon, the target snatches the weapon from the air and wields it. It is not a thrown weapon. So lucky you. But you know what it does? It takes it to the teeth and does that slowly closing until it snaps.
The angry warg pencil snap.
Yes. Fire. Yes. Yes.
Hey.
Watch me sacrifice this pencil.
Not going to lie, though. Totally, totally mental image that. And it works. That's terrifying.
That is kind of awesome, yeah.
Kind of awesome. And
like warg, like, catching an arrow in its mouth and then turning and looking, you know?
Yeah, I know that. I throw this back at you, but it's not a strong weapon. Anyway, what else have you got for us?
Going to try it again.
Okay. With penalties.
Yes.
Yes.
19.
Oh, yeah, you like... Here's another one for you. And with a hit. Ow. It's busy spitting out your balsa wood. You get right in the high shoulder, you know, against its flank. And you
do three
points of damage, but it's just a flesh wound. Against warg number 6. I believe I said my name was Scratches. Well, I didn't say so because I don't speak. I'm just a warg. But I'm wicked smart. Nicely done.
I'm going to try once more.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
I'm
going to try.
We have had other elves in this program with other bows that have shot the third time, and the fans are like, why are you letting them? Tell them no. Critical miss, but not a natural one, so we'll skip the card. But does it trigger any? No, I'm not one of those creatures. That's my cousin.
Yes,
Weak.
You are, Jeff.
No, I just, we're making the, in my homebrew campaign, all the wargs not only do your taxes, but they trigger. No.
And you're always owing every time they do them.
Yeah, really. You wake up and there's like a bill next to you. Dieter, it is finally your turn.
Oops, yes, it's finally my turn.
And Sparkus.
So after the cleric man by the platform there, did he appear to have healed him in a good way?
Well,
how is the surrounded monk appearing to us?
Okay, so one action. for the recall because you peeked in my bestiary.
Yep.
A second action for perception check as you survey, because you literally
asked. No, screw that. You asked me to look at the bestiary. I'll take the recall, the perception.
You literally said, "How's he doing?"
I'll take the perception, but you know, I'm not going to take that action on the recall. I was doing you a solid, my friend.
You're looking around.
Yes. So, does he still look like he is nearly half dead?
Miros? Actually, you know what? The funny thing is, that is actually a healing check, like a medicine check. DMs are just like, there are spells, low-level spells that you have to, like, that give you the hit point.
I will spend the action to observe. Yes, I will.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it's... Yeah,
oh,
okay,
he wants a check. Okay, I can do this.
Yeah, medicine, yeah.
Ooh, uns medicine. Dieter. Why does Dieter not have medicine?
Minus two for 20 feet. I don't know, because you're...
Uns. Nine.
He's fine. He's fine. It's fine, you know.
Guten. Okay, then I shall spend my last actions of this round.
It's like the guy that's like defiantly just get off me as the zombie pack takes him down. Oh, he's fine. He's kicking and fighting. He's fine.
It's so good. I shall turn and in the direction of the two wolves, basically straight below me.
Yep.
I shall cast this spell, Bumbling Rebel.
Does that target multiple?
It is a cone attack, yes.
Oh.
It is, burning hands with rocks.
How many squares are we talking here?
15-foot cone, yeah.
From you, ooh. And it's got to start at you.
Starts at me or the square in front of me?
I'm asking. Because if it,
I'm pretty sure it's the square in front of me is one, and then it goes three, and then
no, I'm just saying
five.
It starts at, like, one of your corners is what I'm saying. You can't place it at range.
No, right. It's directly below me. It like the square directly below me is square one, so I can't ping. But
oh, I see what you're saying. Like, so you're setting it up. I gotcha. You're setting
straight
up
down.
A straight cone. So a square in front of you is one. Then it branches out three engulfing and the first five. Wall on the right, and then another three. That's your 15. I got it. Right.
Yes, this is it.
I'm so used to doing the angle, but you know there is also that angle cone where you just go right past for show.
So if you can be as a deer, I'm going to be hitting medium beast number six and number four.
So do you have like Cinder Brave in this game for animal handling? Because you literally just roasted your animal's butt.
No, I did not.
You didn't hit him, but flames, magical flame, go shooting across the field.
Rocks.
Oh, rocks.
It's burning hands, but it's rocks.
Sorry. Right. Gotcha. Okay.
GM only listens to you one word.
Burn.
No.
Okay.
No. I listened to the whole sentence. I only remember the last thing said. there's a difference.
So this is targeted. I should be able to make a attack roll.
Against both? Yeah, gotcha. Target.
Against both. We are targeted. Yes, excellent. Critical success and success. This is so good. All right, critical success, so good. Oh wait, that's their save.
Yep. Oh. I was like, I hate to burst your bubble there, Dieter, but it's like, it will roll their saves for me, one succeeded, and the other one got a crit success.
Once the one that has critically succeed takes no damage. Oh, lucky Vork. Yes, the one that has not critically successed takes half damage.
Okay, so roll damage.
It should automatically resolve. I'm hoping.
It does.
Perfect.
It's a beast 4, 3 points half.
Oh, fantasy grounds, you are so good, yeah.
Makes up for all the bitching about the natural 20s and ones we've done through the whole season. That makes up. That's very, very cool.
Enjoy this rockiness. Ha! Dieter has spoken.
Okay.
And that's my turn.
So do you get a burn actions to direct the ape? Or basically you just go. And so then if you want to change its action, then you burn. Yeah.
Normally, I would have to. But because my ape is mature now, he will either attack or move. So he can do a move action or an attack action
on his own. Yeah.
On his own. Obviously, he's going to take his full attack action on the fog.
Okay. Gotcha. Targeted. Go nuts.
Und ja. Oh, Sprockets. Pummel him. Do it. Why aren't you doing it?
Click, man. Click. Click faster.
It is, yeah. 22 is a hit.
Yeah. Yeah.
He takes
oh, no, you got me doing it.
2d8 plus 4 points of damage, 13 points of damage from my monkey slap.
Now, you were asking earlier, does he look wounded? If you note, there are tiny little icons, little dots next to the characters in green, which is healthy, yellow, not so great, amber, orange, not well at all, and red. Goodbye.
Yes,
soon.
But I failed my check, so the dot is invisible to me.
Okay. But a clever player might just kind of like, oh, look at the dot, you know. But I appreciate the non-meta.
Meta is bad.
Meta is bad. I guess I was just trying to point out some interesting things about Fantasy Grounds again. But we did first nine episodes were like way too much about Fantasy Grounds.
Speaking of nine, it is nine my turn.
And that completes a single round. And
Lords, we will see you next time. I said it.
Fine. I'm taking back that hero point. Say goodnight, Miros.
Hey, good night.
Say goodnight, Lady Archer.
Good night.
Well, you have yet to introduce yourself to the actual, initial cast. So you're just the mysterious ranger at this time. Good night, everybody.